Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, earlier this week, I was really hoping we'd get a chance to talk with Sam Faddis on the show. And you guys know me, I try not to overbook the show with guests because we want you to be our guest. We want folks across Montana to get a chance to be heard. And oftentimes, the best information we get, the best insight we get is from you, our great listeners here on Montana Talks. And then you get to be heard all across Montana as well. So I try not to overbook the show with guests, but you know, after last weekend and the obvious security failures that took place with this assassination attempt on President Donald J. Trump, I was hoping to get Sam Faddis, a former CIA operations officer, on back on the show with us. He's got the AND magazine, A-N-D magazine. He retired after a full career in the CIA. He was he led the first covert team on the ground in Iraq. Prior to the invasion there, he eventually headed up their counter weapons of mass destruction element at the CIA. But he was going to join us earlier in the week, but or at least he wanted to. But he had been called down to the Washington, D.C. area for some high level talks about what we are going to have to do to re-secure America, to make America secure again. Well, thankfully, it's the end of the week now, and Sam Faddis is going to be with us here in just a few minutes. So we'll get to that. Plus, man, what a night last night. You know, you guys have heard me all week long. I haven't been sitting there watching every day, all day, convention coverage from the Republican National Convention. We've gotten to catch up with our fellow Montanans who have been back there. But finally, last night, I had some time and just sat there and watched the entire program, and it was just absolutely incredible. I am so much more optimistic about the future of our country and about the fact that we will save America, that we've got to save America, and that we will turn this around. I know it seems like we are in a much deeper hole now than we were in 2016 after the failed years of the Obama tester years, and we are in a much deeper hole now after the failures of Joe Biden and John Tester in the last 3 years, a much deeper hole than even after the Obama years. But just like Donald Trump turned things around after 2016, he will do it again. And in fact, I think as and even by the way, it was former Vice President Mike Pence who made this point. I don't know if you guys heard, but former Vice President Mike Pence was actually here in Montana. If you saw via X.com, he was out fly fishing out near on the Beartooth front there, out fly fishing and hanging out with his friends out on, you know, out near Absorkey. And but before that, I actually got to do a fireside chat. It was me alongside former Vice President Mike Pence, and we had a very small crowd. It was a private deal, and I got permission to share because it was closed press. But anyway, one of the things he said there he said, we've got to win. If we don't win, the first half of the 21st century could look a lot like the first half of the 20th century. The other thing he said, though, is we will turn this around. We will win. And this is coming from Pence, by the way. And he said the Trump team is going to be even more prepared in 2025 than they were in 2017. So that has me even more optimistic.
Securing America.
The White House commenting Thursday on this week's revelation of an Iranian-backed plot to assassinate former President Trump. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says officials continue to watch
for any malign activity by foreign actors with respect to our electoral politics in this country.
Kirby says the monitoring of the threat has been constant following the drone strike in January of 2020, which killed Iranian Revolutionary Guard commander and known terrorist Qassem Soleimani.
And the Iranians' desire for retribution for that.
And Kirby adds,
we continue to communicate as appropriate with those who could be targeted.
The Iranian threat is not believed to be associated with last Saturday's assassination attempt on the former president. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
plan barbecues and weddings. You can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pretty soon, Crow Agency will transform into the TP capital of the world. Well, if you wanted to get a taste of just how incredible Crow Fair will be next month, you should have been in Crow Agency on Tuesday night. I got to be there. They had a big celebration, a song and dance celebration for the new Absolica Child Care Center. And then afterwards, they had the song and dance celebration under the Crow Fair Arbor. I've got photos, video, and more. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, if you go to our Montana Talks website, you'll see this headline: Montana's gains at the RNC. Democrat senators are lying to you. U.S. Senator Steve Daines addressing a national audience at the Republican National Convention last night as he talked about efforts to win back majority control of the U.S. Senate in support of President Trump. We'll talk more about that story here later, either this hour or in the next hour of the program. The other big news that I shared yesterday afternoon is, once again, Liberal Senator John Tester getting his marching orders from Chuck Schumer. Liberal Senator John Tester getting his marching orders from Chuck Schumer. If you heard the news yesterday, if you heard the chatter out there, it appears even closer than ever before that Joe Biden will withdraw from the presidential race, that he will be forced to withdraw from the presidential race. COVID test goes into hiding. Now the chatter has increased that he will withdraw from the race. And so yesterday the news came out that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer were ordering Joe Biden to withdraw from the race. And that's when John Tester, the flip-flop flat top, got his marching orders. And now he is calling on Biden to withdraw from the race as well. Let's go into the phone lines here before we have Sam Faddis join us in a few minutes. We've got Brian in Bozeman first up. Brian, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. Longtime listener, first-time caller.
Oh, wow. Thanks for calling.
In regards to the woman in Hardin, you know, that says, I'm sorry that he missed. I was talking to a couple of liberal friends of mine and asked them basically the same question, you know, what did you think about the possible assassination attempt? And both of them said, you know what, we're sorry he missed. And I said, you know, that's, so in other words, you know, it's okay to shoot somebody, whether they're a presidential candidate or not, you feel that's okay. And their response was reflection. Well, Trump was the one who incited the riot on January 6th. And I have found that a lot of times talking to people about this, that's what they do. They want to change the subject. They want to get away from what actually happened and what is going on and deflect back on Trump in some negative way.
Well, exactly. Yeah, no, that's crazy. I think it is more widespread among Democrats and among the left. I mean, we saw that former Montana political reporter. She shared via X, "Make America AIM Again." And look at how many leftists were sharing that and saying the same thing. And then now you've got the conspiracy theorists out there, like former Democrat State Representative Jessica Cargiola out of Billings, trying to say that, somehow Donald Trump orchestrated this this attempt on his life that came within a quarter of an inch of taking his life. I mean, good night. It's crazy. Well, Brian, thanks for the call, and great to hear from you. Call in more often. Great to get your take here. I want to play a little bit of this soundbite before Sam Faddis joins us here in a few minutes. This is Congressman Mike Waltz joining Jesse Waters last night from the Republican National Convention. He says Secret Service agents are pissed They have repeatedly been asking for more resources to protect Donald J. Trump.
I mean, I just talked to one of the agents a few hours ago. I talked to some Sunday. The agents are pissed. They're frustrated. They've repeatedly asked for resources. Donald Trump isn't your normal average former president. He's not Jimmy Carter sitting in the old folks' home. And, oh, by the way, some other things are coming out, like the shooter had three encrypted accounts overseas. At the same time, we're having an Iranian plot. I think this is going to go much broader, much deeper, but the agents are going to hold her to account. Their lives on the lines, and she was not giving the resources they were requesting. But one other thing, Jesse, that Pittsburgh field office was the one responsible for the advance. That was clearly not done appropriately and distracted by Dr. Jill.
And the Pittsburgh field office was also responsible for covering up that bribery Ukraine tip that came in as well. Are you saying that you're getting information that says there's encrypted communications between crooks and foreign sources?
Now, what we know, and this was on the briefing we just received, he had three encrypted overseas accounts the FBI is trying to get into.
What do you mean by overseas accounts?
Well, we know that they were based in servers overseas, and so you've got to work over there with the FBI liaisons overseas to start getting into them through their authorities.
Do you believe this attempt on the former president's life has some sort of foreign nexus?
Well, we know the Iranians have been trying for years, not only him, but everybody, Pompeo and others, involved in the Soleimani strike. And we also know, it's finally come out, many of us have been fighting this for years, that they pulled National Security Advisor O'Brien's detail completely away. He's had to go to his own private security and local law enforcement. So there is all kinds of issues here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it starting on Monday.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, that was a little bit of the back and forth there. Florida Congressman Mike Waltz, who also served at senior levels of the Department of Defense back in the early 2000s, and a Green Beret, who I think may still be serving in National Guard Special Forces, if not recently retired. So there you go. You got the info confirmed there on a potential foreign nexus with this assassination attempt on Donald J. Trump. We're going to talk with a former and retired CIA operations officer, Sam Faddis, right after this. I just saw a headline he shared. I think it was something to the effect of brace yourselves. So brace yourselves. He'll join us right after this quick break right here on Montana Talks.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Congress is in charge of doling out federal dollars, be it to federal agencies or even to Israel or Ukraine. But in the House of Representatives lately, Congress failed to fund itself. The House defeated a $7 billion appropriations bill for the legislative branch. It was a surprise misstep for the House majority. And it's an ominous sign for Republicans to pass the rest of their fiscal 2025 spending bills on the floor before the August recess. Seven of the bills are far more politically divisive. 10 Republicans joined Democrats to tank the legislation. A long-standing and contentious freeze over a cost-of-living pay raise for members of Congress, in addition to concerns about higher spending, contributed to GOP dissent. Republican Georgia Representative Andrew Clyde voted against the bill. He raised concerns on the floor about increased funding levels and the constitutionality of maintaining the pay freeze through appropriations bills. House Appropriations Committee Chairman Tom Cole said the failure was, quote, inexplicable. Cole added that he had not heard significant concerns from members. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Man, what a week. I couldn't even tell you what we're going to talk about on Freedom Friday, on Friday's Montana Talks. Never know what's going to happen in the next 24 hours. Of course, President Donald Trump takes the stage Thursday night at the Republican National Convention. I know you're going to want to talk about that and much more on Friday. So we'll have the phone lines open for you, and barring any other big changes, we may have a big guest. You just never know. We try to stay semper gumby, always flexible with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, I mentioned it just a few minutes ago. I am much more optimistic about the future of our country. I've always been an optimist. Maybe I'm too optimistic. Maybe I'm always trying to see the silver lining in things. But look, folks, we are on the brink of World War III. That's the failure of Joe Biden and John Tester's policies. We've had a mass invasion on our southern border. Well, on our northern border, too, frankly. Look at everything that's going on right now. inflation, grocery prices, energy prices across the board. We are in a much deeper hole as a country right now in 2024 than we were in 2016. But look at how Donald Trump and Mike Pence brought us back from the brink. And, you know, and even Mike Pence, who's had a break in that relationship with Donald Trump, even he even told us here in a recent fireside chat that I had with him here in Montana just a week or so ago. He said that not only do we have to win, we will win. And when he says we, he's talking about President Trump and he's talking about Republican control of the Senate. He says if we don't win, the first half of the 21st century could look a lot like the first half of the 20th century. But he believes we will win. And I asked about, look, we're in a much deeper hole than we were, you know, back in 2016 before you guys took over. And he said, yes, but he says, but I think the American people have seen the failures of these last 3 to 4 years, and they saw the success of the 4 years prior to that. And the Trump, and so the not only will a new Trump administration be even more prepared than they were the last go around, but the American people will have even more resolve to turn things around. And I think former Vice President Mike Pence was spot on with that assessment. And then what an inspirational week at the Republican National Convention. Sam Faddis, before we talk about the obvious security failures last weekend, have you been able to catch much of the RNC and any reactions from you? And thanks for being with us.
I did get a chance to catch a fair amount of it. I agree with everything you just said, by the way, and I think what you actually saw at the convention to me was very, very, very encouraging, not just from the standpoint that the odds, you know, Donald Trump's the odds-on favorite to win, but what you really saw was the America First Republican Party. It's not just that Donald Trump is the nominee. His positions of what he represents and what he advocates are now the platform. That is now the Republican Party. I agree with that, and I think it's a very positive thing.
Great point. And the selection of J.D. Vance is, I think the Daily Caller pointed it out, is the final nail in the forever war coffin. And I think that's kind of part of that America First agenda. Well, I told our listeners earlier, I was hoping to get you on the program earlier this week after the obvious security failures that took place with this assassination attempt on President Donald Trump last Saturday. You were telling me you were in some attending some high level meetings to talk about how we re-secure America and make America secure again. I guess, where do you want to start?
Well, look, I think that what everybody needs to understand, first of all, just about what did happen at Butler, is that the best case for what you saw was absolutely staggering, almost incomprehensible incompetence. And I say that, look, I was never a protected detail guy, although I have worked with the Secret Service, particularly their advanced teams, a lot. But my job as an undercover CIA officer, as an operative, was not just to protect us against bad guys trying to do this to us, you know, but to phrase this carefully, we're the ones to conduct the operations against the enemy if we need to do this to them. And I mean that legally and according to national command authority and so forth. In other words, when we're in effect at war with a terrorist group or a hostile entity abroad and we need to do this to them, well, that's operationally what we're supposed to do. If I were to be given a target, again, pursuant to legal authority in the field, an enemy of this country, in an equivalent situation, and you asked me to put together a plan for how we're going to hit a target, I would have started, without even ever having to consciously think about it, with the bedrock understanding that all high points with line of sight to the target within reasonable shooting distance would be physically secured. that would be such a fundamental thing that it would never occur to anybody planning an operation to think that it would be possible that a roof this close to the target is unsecured in broad daylight with a line of sight. I don't know how to emphasize that enough. It is literally incomprehensible. It's protective detail 101. As a buddy of mine who's a former SF guy said to me the other day, a private in the United States Army would have understood that that rooftop needs to be secured. And secured means there are guys with guns standing on it. No, somebody can see it from somewhere else or somebody's in the building but below it. Just really straightforward, basic, common sense type stuff. So I'm laughing not because it's funny, but because it's just almost impossible that it could be true.
Yeah, you don't have to be a former CIA operations officer or a Green Beret sniper to understand this, what the obvious security failures that took place. And then now, I don't know if you heard what Congressman Mike Waltz, a Green Beret, had to say last night, but three foreign accounts apparently that this shooter apparently was involved in all this after apparently they knew that there was a serious threat coming from Iran against President Trump's life. So they knew about the threat from Iran and yet still had a massive security failure like this. And that's why, you know, some people are questioning whether it was deliberate, because it was just such a pathetic display of competency and basic protection of probably the most threatened man in the world.
Yeah, I mean, somebody put online something the other day that I think summed this up very succinctly. This is a measure of how terrible the situation is. You're now left with two choices. You can believe that the Secret Service is grotesquely incompetent, that a emotionally disturbed 20-year-old with a rifle can penetrate their defenses with ease. Or you can believe that somehow or another the Secret Service is in on it. Now, I'm not saying that I think the Secret Service is in on it, because I think the god-awful truth is that's the current state of the Secret Service. They can't stop a 20-year-old with a rifle. But you're talking about Iranian threats. Okay, well, I've worked against the Iranians, Hezbollah, all these guys. If you can't stop the 20-year-old with a rifle who's got emotional problems, apparently, I can guarantee you when the boys from Hezbollah or the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps show up, you don't have a frigging prayer of protecting a target. And you're supposed to be the best protective service on the planet. And I will tell you that honestly, and I, as you said, I just came back from meetings in D.C., which involves a lot of planning for hopefully a second Trump administration. Unfortunately, I think this is actually the state of the Secret Service. And unfortunately, I got to tell you that I think all the rest of the agencies that are supposed to be protecting this country are in roughly the same shape. They can't any longer effectively do their jobs. I said in meetings in D.C., we're talking all the time about how close the Iranians are to having a nuclear weapon. You want to know the God's honest truth? We don't have a clue how close the Iranians are to having a nuclear weapon. They could have a dozen nuclear weapons fully functional, and we would not know. Who would be collecting that intelligence? Because you have destroyed with your policies, with your bureaucratization, your politicization, you have destroyed the capacity of these agencies. They are no longer performing their jobs, and that's horrifying to contemplate, particularly what you just said about, you know, how close we are potentially to a world war. But that's true. That's the truth. Actually, that I think is the most terrifying thing, and what still the American people don't want to believe. They still think, well, only if the Secret Service was in on it could this happen, because the Secret Service can't be that bad. And unfortunately, well, they are that bad. And that's not a knock on the individuals in the service who want to do their jobs. I'm saying as an organization, they can't perform
it. It's failed leadership. It's failed resource allocation. It's failed prioritization. Those things seem to be clear at this point. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's in every level of the federal, every agency of the federal government. I've talked with people who work for federal law enforcement. And we'd like to have the resources to assist with, you know, the counterterrorism fight or the gang fight or you know, training dollars that military commanders don't have access to train their soldiers, because it's all about the woke agenda. the woke agenda that's killing recruitment and retention, and the woke agenda that's taking a government that's $35 trillion of debt and yet still spending all this money to push a woke agenda instead of push a counterterrorism agenda and to push whatever the agenda really should be of all these government agencies.
Well, you have the woke agenda, which is a massive, massive issue. It is beyond just being silly or a distraction. It is destroying capacity. But on top of that, you have things that have been going on in Washington, D.C. forever, which is just endless layers of bureaucracy, endless layers of middle management of people. You know, you got the same six guys in Yemen trying to gather intelligence on terrorist targets, but above them you now have 100 people to whom they have to report who justify their existence with PowerPoint presentations and filling out forms. This is not a serious thing. This is not a, we have to, there's no measure of effectiveness, of product, of impact.
I was just going to say that PowerPoint presentation. Yeah, how many layers of government are just briefing the same PowerPoint slides at several layers up the chain of command? Oh, look at what we did. Look at this, sir. Look at this. Blah, blah, blah. So good for you with your PowerPoint presentation. Sam Faddis, I got to take a quick break. Hopefully got your reflector belt on at the same time. I got to take a quick break. I hope you can stick around for a few more minutes.
I'm Gianna Delosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. The leader of a neo-Nazi extremist group based in Europe has been charged with plotting a mass casualty event targeting Jewish children in New York City. Mikhail Chikikashvili was indicted on 4 charges, including soliciting hate crimes and acts of mass violence, after authorities uncovered his plan to have a friend dress up as Santa Claus, go into Jewish schools in Brooklyn and hand out poisoned candy on New Year's Eve. Prosecutors say he began planning the scheme in November of 2023. The 21-year-old from the Republic of Georgia is also known as the Commander Butcher and allegedly leads the Maniac Murder Cult. The Justice Department says it's an international extremist group that promotes violence against groups it deems undesirables to upset social order via terrorism. Chikikashvili was arrested after he tried to recruit an undercover law enforcement officer to join his group. He could face decades in prison if convicted. There's more on the story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Delosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
At first, the media reported only that many Democratic lawmakers were unhappy with President Biden and feared that he was going to lose badly to Donald Trump, and naming the 15 or even 20 Democrats who would come out publicly against the president. But then began an orchestrated campaign of leaks. In other words, the private interventions didn't work. So now suddenly it was leaking out that Chuck Schumer, Democratic Majority Leader, that Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader, that Nancy Pelosi, the former Speaker, had very blunt conversations telling President he can't win. And yet the White House keeps denying it. And then it moved on to, well, he's begun to accept the idea that he may have to bow out. Well, according to sources, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of when. That could be the outcome here, but the leaking campaign has really had an impact. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, thankfully Sam Faddis, a retired CIA operations officer, able to join us for a few more minutes. And Sam, let us know whenever you got to run. And hey, likewise, if you want to take some phone calls from some Montanans, it looks like we have some folks ringing in. If not, if you got to run, we can get to those callers right after we wrap up with you. Lori from Billings called in from the road with a good question. What were these foreign accounts that the attempted assassin had, that the shooter had? Were they bank accounts, social media accounts? I don't know if we, the public, knows that information yet. I'm assuming they know what those accounts are, but for good reasons they may not be sharing that information publicly, though. But very good question, Lori. Sam Faddis, if you want to weigh in on Lori's question, feel free, but I want to get your take. TheDailyWire.com has this. Ben Shapiro, the palace coup is on. Democrats are ready to toss Joe Biden off the back of the train. Now, I'm assuming, given your CIA background, you know a thing or two about palace coups. You've probably seen a few happen at some point during your career, or at least have studied them. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, in regard to the question from the caller, the information that is out about these three encrypted offshore accounts came from Congressman Mike Waltz. Congressman Waltz is a former Special Forces guy. I have met him. I know him. He's an incredibly sober individual. So this is not some guy who routinely spreads conspiracy theories. The direct answer to the question is I don't know yet precisely what he means by that because he did not elaborate. In other words, I do not know whether they're bank accounts or whether it's like an offshore encrypted email account that operates out of Switzerland, which would be entirely possible. So that I don't know. In regard to Biden, look, I think obviously the immediate issue with Biden that has all of a sudden made everybody start talking about getting rid of him is his clear physical and mental decline, as what I regard as dementia. And that has just become, that's what everybody's jumping on. But the issue, obviously, is much larger. I mean, this kind of broke the dam and got people to start talking about it. But when Democratic donors are saying you can't win based on polling numbers and so forth, well, all of that was true well before the debate and before people started openly talking about dementia. I mean, the fundamental problem is he owns all of his policies. I mean, his policies, the Democratic Party's policy, which have been catastrophic at every level, right? From the economy to national security to the border, immigration, we could go on all day. His policies have been a catastrophe, and everybody in the country knows that. I mean, everybody in the country's got to buy groceries and buy gas and find a job and start to figure out if they can afford to buy a house. So I guess what I'm saying is, ditching Biden, if that happens, and I don't think that's guaranteed that he'll go, but assuming they jettison him, that doesn't fix the bigger problem. I mean, if Kamala steps into the breach, advocating a continuation of the same policies that are destroying the country, that doesn't help him win an election. So I don't see a, honestly, you know, nobody wants to count their chickens before they're hatched. I don't see a way out of this situation for them. I think that honestly, and I think you smell that when you hear prominent Democratic politicians speak. They understand catastrophe is coming. And what they're really terrified of is not just losing the White House, but having Trump sitting in the White House and actually having him have a Republican majority in both houses.
That's right.
And run the table.
Yeah, and that's why Montana Senator Steve Daines, if you saw when President Trump had his two grandkids, he had his granddaughter sitting on his lap. Well, two people away was Montana Senator Steve Daines, who's chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. And that was symbolic because it shows how important winning these U.S. Senate races is, not just across the country, but especially here in Montana. In fact, yesterday, after he got his marching orders from Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, our liberal senator, flip-flop, flat-top John Tester, got his marching orders from Chuck Schumer. So he then finally came out and also called on Biden to withdraw from the race. But I tweeted this out 12 hours ago. The cowardly John Tester finally saying something must mean that it's about to happen. But reminder, it is the Biden-Tester policies that are failing America. So they can kick Joe Biden to the curb all they want, but they still have Joe Biden's failures in the policies of John Tester. Sam Faddis, do you want to stick around for a few more minutes, or do you got to run?
I need to punch out, guys, because I got to jump on another show. Apologize.
All right. Hey, no worries. That's why I wanted to ask. Well, I appreciate your time as always. Thanks for your service to our country, your continued service to our country. Sam Faddis.
Take care.
All right, you too. 406-294-0970 is the number for you, and we will keep the phone lines open for the next hour of the program as well. Who do we got next up here? Let's see. Let's go to Andre in Butte. Andre, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
I appreciate your show, and I've been listening to it just about every morning.
Wow. Well, that's a huge honor. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I came in 77 to Montana from Switzerland as a 20-year-old with nothing, and I decided to stay and build, a nice future for ourselves. And I think a lot of Americans don't understand that this is the land of opportunity still. If you're willing to work hard and you look for opportunity, there's much to be gained in comparison to other places. Even Switzerland is very complicated if you want to get into business and do anything. And, you know, we own three businesses and due to the American dream.
Wow.
And I think that a lot of Americans don't understand that what the potential they have, and if they don't see the picture, for example, where we were in 77 to where we are now, and I'm looking how far we have declined in many ways as far as freedom, policies, and so on. And specifically, you know, I'm really frustrated with the liberals and what they're destroying, because there are certain principles in a society to function properly and healthy, and they're destroying all of that. And you know, that gets me. And, you know, Tim Shee, I think he needs to be more aggressive, for example. You know, when they're talking about all the money he's taking, you know, and lobbying in D.C. with his business and to get contracts. Well, he's providing a service. He's providing employment.
Yeah.
And he's paying taxes. And he needs to come out and say, well, at least I do that. Tesla just gets the big lobbying money from everybody for voting their way, and he's not providing anything.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And but of course, you know, the Sheehy campaign and the Republicans need the money to get that message out. They can say it all day long. The fake news media in Montana won't get that message out. But so that's why, you know, this recent uptick in Republican fundraising is good news. Andre, I got to ask you, and stay with me here if you can. So, well, first off, if you send me an email, I'd love to hear more of your background and the businesses that you started. Just sounds like an incredible story. So I'd love to hear more about that. Or you can mention it on the air if you want to. But you mean to tell me, Switzerland looks like one of the most beautiful countries in the world. It's a country I want to visit someday. To me, when I see the mountains of Switzerland, it reminds me of Glacier National Park. You mean to tell me that as beautiful as Switzerland is, you wanted to come to America, to Butte, America, because you wanted opportunity. You wanted economic opportunity to become successful yourself one day. That's incredible.
Well, I came in, you know, I was as a tourist here with a friend of mine, and the reason we came to Montana was because his dad is the largest Simmental cattle breeder in Switzerland, and in the 70s, Simmentals were pretty popular, and there was crossbreeding going on. Like Dorn Burnham in Helena, you know, was the guy that was came up the black Simmental. But anyway, I ended up coming back over, and I had an engineering degree. I worked for a high department, and then I ended up getting out of that and got into insurance, and then eventually real estate and so on, and so on. And now we got Montana Zipline Adventures, and my wife's got another business where she was a nurse practitioner for 37 years and kind of retired from that, but she's still doing some other stuff. But anyhow, you know, it's like I'm looking at Switzerland. It's a beautiful country, but it's about, you know, a tenth the size of Montana with over 8 million people.
Wow.
I grew up in a little town in the mountains with 500 people, and we were the first town below the glacier. Beautiful country, wonderful people, but I've seen the media over there is also going the same way as we see it here. They're a little more factual, and they're not, the woke thing is not catching on nearly as much there as it is here.
Well, and isn't Switzerland getting a mass migration problem as well? So you already got eight times the population of Montana. Then you pile in a bunch of migrants from some not so nice countries. Wow. Andre, great to hear from you. We got to hit the break here. Stand by.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Let me follow this logic of the left. He's not fit to run for re-election, but he's fit to serve as president now? I don't think so. You know, you would be invoking, if you truly believe that, and this wasn't about winning an election, you'd be invoking the 25th Amendment to our Constitution. So it's either both or neither. This is about the election. It's about power. Don't let anything kid you, because they've known about the cognitive decline. They've covered it up, and then he becomes pretty much a useful idiot and does whatever they want. That's why the squad and AOC, they kind of like Joe there, because Joe supports them and has been implementing their radical agenda.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Ensuring the safety of your family is paramount, and Byrna, BYRNA, they offer the most effective, less lethal solution to protect you and your loved ones. Go to their website, Byrna.com, to learn more. In moments of crisis, choosing a less lethal option is crucial. Now, Byrna's launcher is equipped with powerful deterrents like tear gas and kinetic rounds. They boast a 60-foot range. They can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes, ensuring that you do not have to resort to lethal force. Now, Byrna's mission is to save lives, both yours and any potential assailants. Now, choosing less lethal options can also spare you the life-changing legal ramifications that come along with using lethal force. It's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a background check. You don't need a permit. With over 15,000 4.5-star reviews, well, Byrna's products, well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to love them. They can be shipped directly to your door. Go to their website, BYRNA.com/Hannity. You'll get 10% off your purchase. That's Byrna.com/Hannity, 10% off.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
How much would you be willing to pay for a bottle of water? Once upon a time, this would have been a preposterous question. Water was always free. Yet now we routinely pay for it at convenience stores and even restaurants. It's an example of what economists call revealed preference. We disclose how much we value things by our actions, not our words. Revealed preference tells us, for example, that most of us do not put an infinite value on our own lives. We do not pay any price to be safe. We take risks in our daily lives because we prefer that to wearing helmets and locking ourselves indoors. It's wise to remember that when we hear of surveys that tally responses of what people say about value with no skin in the game. Research shows, for example, that if you ask how much would you be willing to pay to be exempt from a mask mandate, you will get a very small number. But if you ask how much would you need to be paid to wear a mask, you get a much bigger one. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great message from Lori in Billings. Okay, so people get mad when an animal is abused. They want to take away your guns. They get angry over pronouns because their feelings got hurt. But these same people are okay with Trump or his supporters being killed? What a bunch of hypocrites. Lori, thanks for that message. Mike in Bozeman sent me a message. Make America secure again. What a scary statement that is. Think about it. Think about it. That's the position our country is in right now, where we have to be talking about making America secure again. By the way, via Truth Social, from Just the News, the White House is denying reports that Biden is discussing an exit plan from the 2024 race. So anyway, that just flashed across my screen. Let's see. Into the phone lines we go. Claude in Eureka. Thanks for the call. Claude, are you
Hello?
There? Yeah, go ahead, Claude.
Yes, I am. I am here.
Okay, great. Go ahead. We're short on time.
Okay, I need to ask y'all a question. And I need this to go out, but, you know, I know there could be ramifications. The head of the CIA was at the RNC. And she got caught there. They said she was bumping elbows with financial suppliers for the RNC. However, when she got questioned about Trump's assassination attempt, she ran out of the room without any questions answered. So my question is, since she was so negligent with the first attempt, could there have possibly been a connection there of her scoping the place out for a second attempt? That's a good question that people need to be asking and checking out.
Why is she even still on the job? Yeah, and yeah, just quick clarification. That was the head of the Secret Service. And she got confronted by two U.S. senators and refused to even say hello or answer a question of them. Claude, thanks for the call. Hey, did you hear about the people who were saying, oh, why does Trump have that bandage on his ear? Come on. That's what they're saying. I mean, the guy just got shot in his ear. Nancy in Roundup sent this. An ear bandage is so unnecessary. Say the people who wore a mask while alone in their car for 3 years. So Nancy, thanks for sharing that. Bob in Billings, what do you got for us?
Good morning.
Morning.
I think the assumption is out there that this is the first time that they've left Trump exposed, and it's entirely possible that this has happened several times. And I think it goes to how can you affect an outcome without appearing to affect an outcome? And for example, card counters who are playing blackjack, they can affect the outcome by waiting until the deck is face card rich, say, and their chances of winning are increased. And likewise, you know, this exposure of Trump could just be part of a series of exposures. You know, they're playing the odds and increasing them to get their outcome.
So, Bob, you remember when the Biden weaponized Department of Justice authorized the great panty raid on Mar-a-Lago and they raided the president's estate? Remember when they wanted to shut the cameras off? Why did they want to shut the cameras off? Why didn't they want people to see what they were doing inside Mar-a-Lago during the great panty raid of Mar-a-Lago?
Exactly. Yeah, and there's, I mean, we could go down conspiracy theory lane, but there's a lot of other applications to this. You know, they could, I think they know where these weirdos like crooks are, and they could wait until there's a rally in the neighborhood, one of the neighborhoods where there's a lot of these guys.
Just too many errors here. That's why people are raising these types of questions. All right, we're out of time, but more phone calls next hour.